And hopefully. Thanks, Byron. Everybody, you can turn and say, thanks, Byron.
Thanks, Byron.
Awesome. Well, I'm Pastor Joel, and that's Byron in the back, if you were wondering. And I get to serve here as our lead pastor. And as I was praying over our message today, I found myself kept being drawn back to my childhood. You know, it's Mother's Day. We were doing child dedication today. And so there was something about that in my head that was just sticking. And I grew up in a church. My family went to church often. We were there a number of days throughout the week. My parents were heavily involved. And so one of the things that I remember about church, though, were Sunday school songs. Does anybody else remember some of those songs that you sang in Sunday school? If not, I'm going to teach you. No, I'm not going to teach any songs this morning. I'm totally kidding. There's a reason I preach and I don't lead worship. And you'll be thankful for that. But I remember singing a song about being in the Lord's army. Does anybody remember that song? You know, I'm in the Lord. Yeah, there it is. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Yeah, or Father Abraham, how he had many sons had. Yeah. See, here's the thing. When people come to visit a church and they see people walking around like this, like, it's a little weird, you know what I'm saying? Or we sang songs about how God's love is deep and wide. Yeah, you know it. I feel so bad for Zacchaeus, though. Like, the song about Zacchaeus, he's remembered for being a wee little man, and you guys are so good. I'm proud of you. The one song that I never liked, I don't know why, but it was I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a... Yeah, I think it was I was not very good at spelling, and so I got really confused. Some of you are like, man, these flashbacks, whew, I'm not ready for it. Well, what's funny is I was a youth pastor for a while, and it was interesting because I would try to remember these songs, and like, you guys remember these songs, right, to our students, and they had no idea what I was talking about. They were looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language, and I felt so bad for them because these were fond memories for me, walking around all weird, singing these songs, flying in the infantry, right? You know what I mean. But what's interesting is this week, oddly enough, there was a different song that kept coming to my mind. And it's Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. See, when I sing that song in my head, what was interesting is this week I had this feeling of like, it's incomplete. There's something missing. Jesus loves us, that's absolutely true. But we're meant to do something with that love. We're not meant to hold on to it. It's not meant for us to just hoard and keep it all to ourselves. That seems rather selfish. In fact, I think God says, no, pour out my love to others. Be real people of love. And show others the very same love that I've shown to you. So today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what does it mean for us to actually be real people of love? What does it mean for us to not just know that God loves us, because absolutely God does love you, but you're meant to do something with that love? You know, as you're aware, today is Mother's Day. We've said that a number of times, and fathers or sons or anybody in this room that hasn't gotten a gift yet, your time is running out. You might want to run to VG's and grab flowers really quick or something on your way home. But as I was thinking of my own mother last weekend, I saw her and we got to spend time and celebrate Mother's Day with her. I was thinking back, and I know that my mom gave away all the love that she could to us kids. And the thing is, she never expected anything in return. Never once does she go and be like, well, where's the ROI? Where's the return on my investment on this? Or never once did I see her sitting there and going through a cost analysis or anything like that. She just acted out of love. And so what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to act out of the love that God has shown to us? How do we become real people of love? It begins with acknowledging the fact that love comes from God. That's where it starts. We have to acknowledge that love itself comes from God. And so today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John 15. And in John 15, 1 through 7, this is 1 through 17, excuse me, this is Jesus speaking at the Last Supper. And he's there with his disciples, and what's already happened is Jesus has washed their feet already in this moment. He's already led them through the first communion. The Lord's Supper has already taken place, as he says, like, remember this, do this often in remembrance of me. And then he's beginning to teach them one last time. And before this, Jesus promises to us the Holy Spirit. He says, there's going to be an advocate, there's going to be a great counselor, there's going to be the Holy Spirit who's going to come upon you and who's going to walk with you and who's going to help you. And then right here in John 15, Jesus is talking about himself. He's revealing more of who he is to his disciples in his last moments. And he uses a metaphor. And so Jesus, he starts his words by telling us that he's the true vine, and his Father, God, is the gardener. See, Jesus shares how sometimes the gardener has to prune us. He has to cut things away so that we can bear fruit. And pruning is painful, pruning, however, is necessary. It helps us so that we can keep bearing fruit. It helps us cut away the things that aren't necessarily good for us. And we can preach a whole message about pruning on a different day, but not today. Jesus also shares something so powerful here, though. He shares that the only way that it's possible for us to bear fruit is if we stay connected to him as the vine. That we're meant to stay in our relationship with Jesus so that we can produce fruit. And the fruit Jesus is talking about is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the things like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those things is what the fruit he's talking about. And so Jesus also promises us in these verses that as we remain in him, he'll remain in us. And so in verse 9, these are Jesus' words to his disciples. He says this. He says, I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. And then he says, remain in my love. This may not seem all that powerful, but it does tell us a lot about love. The first thing that we see is that love does begin with the Father. Love comes from the Father himself. God is the author of love. He's the one that at first showed us what it means to love. He's the originator of love. That's who God is. And as we continue to live in our relationship with Jesus, you remember what John 3:16 says prior in the gospel. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the... Where's my participation? You did so good with the songs, church. For God so loved the
world
that he gave us his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's right. And as we continue to believe in Jesus, remain in him, we see how Jesus loved like his Father loved. How Jesus completely and perfectly shows that love. And what's interesting is, think of the context of when Jesus is sharing this. Think of the moment that he's in, right? He's about to go to the cross. He's about to go into the garden to pray and then be arrested and then tried and then beaten. And then he's going to be hung on a cross. He's going to die for all of our sins. But before that, Jesus is saying, I've loved you. And he uses a past tense there. Did you see? I loved you. Meaning this love isn't what he's going to do, but it's something he's already done. He's already shown them what it means to be loved and how to love. And what's interesting is this word remain in my love, to remain in, there's the Greek for it is this word meno. You can say meno. That's an easy Greek word, meno. And meno, this phrase, to remain in, it also means to continue to be present. It means to dwell in. It means to experience his love continually. It also means that this love doesn't perish, but it lasts. And this love survives. It means that you and I survive when we remain in his love. Remember, Jesus is the vine. And from him, we get everything that we need. Just like a plant gets its nutrients from the vine, everything you and I could need, we get when we remain in Jesus. All of it comes from him. He sustains us. He walks with us. But in order for us to really remain in his love, we have to know that our love, this love, it takes work. Love does take work. Verse 10 says this, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. The work that it takes in order to remain in the love of Jesus is to love others in the way that he's loved. Did you see what he said? When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. And then just later he says, so this is the commandment. Love each other. It's that easy. When you obey the commandment, you remain. And the commandment is to love each other. For the disciples, they actually had a firsthand eyewitness experience of what this meant. Because they lived with him. They walked with him. And the good news is, you and I, we have this account. We have the Gospels where we get to see what it meant to live with Jesus, what it meant for him to love his disciples. And we know that the way that Jesus loved others was by investing in them. Remember, he took 12 guys and he said, come and follow me and spend your time with me. He ate with those who many people wouldn't eat with. They journeyed together. He helped others. He was very generous, compassionate. Jesus went above and beyond every time what was expected. And this word sometimes investment, we can get caught up on. Because investments can be difficult. If anybody watches the stock market, you're like, yes, investments can be really, really difficult. We know that they go up and sometimes investments go down. But the same is true with others around us. Sometimes when we invest in others, it can be really easy and things can be going so well. And then sometimes it's like, man, this is hard. This takes so much work. There's emotions that play into investing in people. And there's a mental aspect to it where we can feel completely drained. We can feel exhausted even. Investing in others, spending time with others, sometimes can feel really difficult. And it can also feel really mundane. I was thinking about this week, that for us, sometimes in the mundane, I think we show the most love. Now hear me out, like grocery shopping. Think about grocery shopping. I don't know a lot of people who like grocery shopping. And if you do, see me after church. I'll pray with you. I'm totally kidding. But if you think about grocery shopping, like, we need food. We have to eat in order to survive, right? Somebody has to then go and buy the food. And if nobody is willing to go and do that, then eventually people go hungry and eventually people die because they're not eating. And so we can show our love in a mundane task of even grocery shopping. Pastor Jessica and I, as we were talking about this message, it was funny because we both came to the same conclusion that the most difficult thing throughout our week is trying to figure out what's for dinner each night. I see a lot of head nodding. Or even think about laundry. Like, how mundane is laundry? Like, it's so boring. Who wants to just put stuff in a machine, take stuff, put it in another machine, and then try to fold it and make it look good? Like, I ain't got time for that. But clothes, like, we need clothes. They protect us from the elements. Like, now is the time where sunburn happens. And sunburn is painful. It's not good for our bodies. We can get sun poisoning and infection from it. Or think about the other extreme, the cold. We don't want to freeze. We can actually freeze to death. You can get frostbite. You can lose limbs from the cold. But I don't want to talk about the cold anymore. It's finally getting warm. Like, let's think about that. Remember what Jesus said about his father being the gardener? Think about gardening. How boring can gardening be? Man, you gotta pull weeds. You have to tend the soil. You have to water the plants. You have to cut and prune things in order for them to grow. When Andrea and I were looking at houses, we purposely bought a house without any flower beds because neither one of us wants to weed. I'm dead serious about that. And my father-in-law is so loving that he decided he wanted to put in a flower bed at our house. So guess who has to weed? Not me. He'll be back. Yeah. It's not neither one of us. He'll be back. But think about that. All of those things, buying food, doing laundry, gardening, they're really mundane. There's nothing exciting about them. But we see a great amount of love in those activities, in those tasks. When I think about Jesus and I look at the way Jesus loved, it wasn't always the most exciting things. I even think about how he washed his disciples' feet just in the moment before this. You know, that's really not exciting. That's not a task any of us would want to do. Feet are gross. But yet Jesus, in an act of love, washed their feet. And then even look at the way he healed people. Now, healing itself is very extraordinary, but the way in which Jesus did it was very ordinary. He grabbed some mud and he put it on people's eyes. That's not anything super special. The act itself, I could go and do that outside, put mud on your eyes. He had people touch him. And it was just really interesting how I think Jesus showed us that even in the most ordinary ways, we can show a great, extraordinary amount of love. But if we look at what Jesus did, we realize it was also very costly. The way Jesus loved was incredibly costly. See, people didn't always like what he was doing. They ridiculed him. They wanted to arrest him. They ran him out of town time and time and time again. They mocked him. They called him names. They looked down on him. In fact, I would even say the way that Jesus loved was pretty dangerous when we think about it. But we're meant to love dangerously. We're meant to love even when it cost us something, even when we can get a little hurt sometimes. I think we're meant to love. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. And I want to read to you a quote from that book. It won't be on your screen because I found it after I did the notes. But if you want it, it's C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. Look that up later. And this is what it says. He said, "There is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal." And then he says, "Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries, but avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, and motionless, airless, your heart will change. It won't be broken, but it will become unbreakable. Your heart will become impenetrable, even irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." What he's saying here is that we can either love or we can choose to let our hearts become so hardened that we don't even allow God to be in our hearts. Jesus said the command is to love in the way that I have loved. And Jesus loves just like the Father loves him. And so our choice should be then to love others too. The thing is, love involves action. When it comes to loving, we have to act. My favorite author is a man by the name of Bob Goff, and in his book, Love Does, he says these words that are on the screen for us. He says, "I used to think that being a believer was enough, but now I know Jesus wants us to participate no matter what condition we are in." I think sometimes we believe the lie that we have to have it all figured out in order for us to do something for God. But instead, Jesus just says, come and participate. Come and love. You don't have to have it all figured out. Just come and do what I do. I mean, look at even some of the people Jesus called. He called the tax collector not a very fun job in the time. Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples. These men were known to be crude. Jesus called a zealot, somebody who was trying to overthrow the government at the time, to be on his team. All of these people did not have it figured out. But yet Jesus says, come and walk with me and learn what it means to love. And he still invites us to that too. He says, come and walk with me and learn what it means to love, and then show that same love to others around you. Jesus continues in this passage of John 15. And he doesn't say that there are any requirements, but all he says in verse 17 is this: "This is my command, love each other." The command is simply to love each other. And we do that by taking action. We do that by being compassionate. We do that by being generous, by investing in other people, even if it costs us something. It means we participate and we don't sit idly by, allowing our hearts to become hardened to the fact that God loves us and we're meant to love others. But we love and we do something to show others that they are loved. You know, that old Sunday school song is so true. Jesus does love you, but that truth needs to be shared with others around you as well, that Jesus loves them too. And the only way they'll begin to know that is if you show them. Jesus gave the command for us to love like he loves, and so let's begin to do so. In our everyday lives, it can be something as mundane like having a conversation with somebody who everybody else shies away from. Remember, Jesus often went to lepers. He went to the people that were the outsiders of town. It could be purchasing groceries for a family that you know is struggling right now. It could be mowing the lawn for a neighbor who's having a health issue. It could be writing a card to somebody who doesn't have much family around just to encourage them. It could be listening to somebody else instead of always trying to fix somebody else. Or just simply saying, I love you, to someone. The way that we can show others the love of God is endless. But we have to start somewhere by doing something. And so the command that Jesus gave to us was to love each other. Let's start there. Would you pray with me? Lord, this morning, God, we're thankful that you loved us so much you gave us Jesus as an example of what it means to love. And God, we're thankful for the life that Jesus lived so that we can see how we're meant to love. And God, right now, we're asking for Holy Spirit to help us. To help us as we leave this place to do something out of love for other people. And God, let us dig in and do the work that is necessary in order to love people, even if it cost us something. So Lord, today I pray that you would speak, that you would put in mind an action step that we need to take. If it's writing a card, buying groceries, mowing the lawn, doing something, God, would you speak to us? And Holy Spirit, would you help us to listen and act? God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.